They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com, and by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
A bank ripe for the taking.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Stocks are off to a good start in Europe this morning. One reason, the possibility of a huge banking deal. Britain's Barclays is trying to take over the biggest bank in the Netherlands. Stephen Beard has more from London.
ABN AMRO, valued at $70 billion, is certainly vulnerable to a takeover. It's come under attack in recent months from two hedge fund investors. They've criticized it for poor performance and called for it to be broken up and sold off. Barclays is said to be offering itself as a so-called white knight to save ABN AMRO from dismemberment. Barclays is believed to be interested in taking over the whole business, but it's been especially attracted to the Dutch bank's assets in the US, Brazil and Asia. Barclays isn't the only one, however. Other groups like the Royal Bank of Scotland and Capitalia of Italy are also thought to be circling. Some analysts say a takeover could trigger a wave of similar deals in Europe's fragmented banking sector. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Over the weekend, the Chinese government said it plans to get into the business of making passenger airplanes. That's the province of Boeing and Airbus. But China believes it can compete with those guys. We turn now to our correspondent in Shanghai, Scott Tong. Scott, why does China want to do this in the first place?
There's a lot of prestige on the line here. Don't forget that Beijing has the Olympics coming up next year. And the idea is that it really wants to have national champions in a lot of sectors, particularly these high-profile sectors like airplanes and aviation. It's not unlike space travel, where there's this ambitious plan in China to go to the moon. And the idea is that to show that, yes, we can play with the big boys in the world.
Well, obviously, there's also a huge market here that China could be serving. So there's also the business part of this.
Well, we hear this in just about every sector, kind of fill in the blank. China is this emerging giant consumer market. And I saw what a lot of people tell me about is there are a lot of first-time travelers here. They're just getting into the market. And a lot of people on this plane I was on were snapping pictures of the rows and the picture of the bathroom. And the opportunity here is going forward, there are just going to be hundreds of millions of those first-time travelers needing an airplane to go on. So if you think about it, does China want to import planes from Airbus or Boeing to serve its market, or does it want to have domestic companies that are producing these airplanes?
All right. Well, obviously, it sounds like they have good reasons to get into this market. Do they have the technology? Can they pull it off?
It's a big question mark, at least as I talk to people today. Now we are talking 20 years down the road is what the government is talking about here. The technology is already starting to develop here. China already makes these narrow-body regional planes, and they make certain parts for the big planes. So they are getting there, and one economist told me, if you look back 20 years to where China has come, you don't want to underestimate where China may be able to go in the future.
Okay, Scott Tong, our correspondent in China. Thank you.
All right, Scott. Thanks.
Since we're talking about flying, British Airways has issued an apology for what happened on a flight from India to Britain last week. A woman died, and the crew moved her from coach to a first-class seat. This came as quite a shock to the people sitting in first class. BA said the crew just wanted to cause the least disruption. BA has no policy about upgrading dead people to first class.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, offering information to learn about sudden cardiac arrest and available life-saving therapies at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
A month ago, all the talk on Wall Street was about record highs and boom times. Since then, of course, things have seemingly gone awry. Big losses overseas, subprime mortgage problems. But Newsweek's Alan Sloan believes investors have simply let emotion get the best of them.
Whatever the subprime problem is, and it's not clear what it is, except it looks sort of messy. There were signs of it a month ago, and the market is supposed to be what they call a discounting mechanism. Today's prices are supposed to reflect what people see coming, and people saw subprime problems coming. People knew, for instance, that the Chinese market is sort of weird because even though China is an important country and has an important economy, the Chinese stock market is a joke. So suddenly the story is at the end of February, as you remember, my God, there's been a sell-off in the Chinese market. The Chinese economy is tanking. The end of the world is at hand, which makes no sense whatsoever.
So nothing has changed?
Well, I mean, what's changed is the perception. It's astounding to me that a month ago, everything was an excuse for stocks in the U.S. to go up, and people were explaining away the rising thing. You know, it's the Goldilocks economy. Interest rates are low, yada, yada, yada. Now it seems that whatever happens out of the total ordinary is an excuse for the market to go down. It's just another example of why you should not tie your mental or entire financial well-being to the market. And it's an example of why money market funds exist.
Well, how much of a role should emotion play in investing?
In reality, of course, it should play no role. And if you look at all of the textbooks and financial stuff, everything is presented as if the world is rational. In fact, the world is in many ways not rational in the short run, and emotion plays an enormous role. And we've now gotten a great wake-up call for this, that emotions matter in many cases as much as the fundamentals.
So how are you feeling this morning, Alan?
I'm feeling optimistic as always, Scott.
All right, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Alan Sloan, the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. You can share your thoughts with us always at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for listening, and have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.